Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How is Jermaine?
I'm good. What the White Devil is? What is the White Devil up to?
He is in Dorset in England. He's back on the. I was going to say the Emerald Isle, but that's Ireland. But he's back on the in England for a couple of weeks.
You snuck into England without telling me.
I snuck in, yeah, but I'm down south. It's almost a different country to London, anyway, isn't it? I'm down in Dorset, so yeah, a long way shy of London. But yeah, here for a holiday. My wife, obviously, she's due a baby in December. We are due, so we are having our last come back and see the family and all that sort of thing. And then we're going to a wedding next weekend, which should be fun. And running a half marathon.
Have you decided what country you want the baby to be born in?
Yeah, we have decided we're going to have a Dutch baby. So we're going to be staying probably for a few years. It's got an interesting this is not really running related, but it's got a very interesting education system in Holland. Yeah, so I'm keen. If you search for happiest children in Europe, they always come up as the top ones. They're more Scandinavian children, so I think we're going to stay Dutch for a bit and maybe get a Dutch passport.
Yeah, the dual nationality, that's what I was going to say. So you can boy or girl be big on the running scene.
Yeah, well, she's going to be a little girl. It's going to be interesting. So we got a little girl coming and she, yeah, apparently though, it's weird, the passport thing. You've got she either can't have a passport for 3 years and then have a Dutch passport, or she can, there's loads of loopholes and stuff. It's quite hard to get a Dutch passport, but we'll have something. My wife's Irish, part Irish anyway, so hopefully we're okay to move within the EU. So that should be good. But enough about the EU. What about you? How's it been going?
I've been working like a slave in the roasting
working
hot buses.
9 to 5.
I didn't know you could sing.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So get this. I'm on a pack bus. Hot. Everyone's obviously gruffing. Yeah. Because they get on and they do this big sigh of breath like, oh, why is it so hot in the bus? I'm thinking, because basically there's so much windows, it's like a greenhouse on wheels, yeah?
Yeah.
And then they look at you saying, put the AC on. I'm thinking, I don't even have AC. You ain't going to get AC, right? So I'm driving along, and I'm driving by this other bus, and all of a sudden this bus just stops, and it stopped for ages. I'm like, what is going on? And then I'm tooting and tooting, nothing's happening. I'm looking in, he's side mirror to see the driver, and there's no driver there. And then a passenger goes, what's wrong? I was like, I don't know what's wrong. So I get out to see where the driver is. Yeah. He's strolling out the sweet shop with a bottle of water. Oh, that's loud. Ah! So he just decided, he was so hot, he had enough. He pulled over. I went and got a drink from the sweet shop. And then, because you can't drink and drive, even though it's not alcohol, yeah, he decided to sip it. Outside the bus.
He was chilling out.
I was thinking, boy, he's lucky the passengers, the passengers were going livid.
I like it though, Maverick. If he's thirsty, he's struggling, he's going to stop. He's going to enjoy himself.
Yeah. Jeez. So, yeah. Obviously, that's what I've been up to. Crazy, crazy.
And I've been, obviously, this show is on the week where we're going to be talking a bit about Project 220 or bus, which is looking at my training in the lead up to Frankfurt, trying to drag my sorry 35-year-old ass to a sub 220. I'm down on myself, aren't I? Yeah.
We're vintage. We're vintage.
We're smooth, yeah. And so I'm trying to get that time. So we obviously, if you listened to a couple of shows back, we enlisted the help of Nate Jenkins to give us a bit of a hand with a Renato Canova, who's an Italian coach who works in Kenya, a Kenyan style training plan, which has been exciting. I've been following that. I'm 23 days in, and this is the worst thing. 23 days in, and guess how many core sessions I've done in that 23 days?
Two.
Yeah, less. I think it's one and a half. It's been really bad. I've been moving around. If you look on my Strava, so you can follow me on Strava, Sean Dixon, or you can follow Let's Get Running group on Strava. I've been doing a lot of traveling lately. I think in those 23 days, I've run in 5 countries, I think. So when you're moving around a lot, it's really hard to commit to doing core work because you want to just get out and run, don't you? It's like if you're working or whatever, you just want to find extra time for the core is really difficult. So that's something I need to do.
This is Project Dixon. We don't want excuses. We want
action.
Yeah,
I know. So I'm sorry, everybody.
Like, what I used to do
is
I'd always do it just before I go to bed.
Okay.
Because then, like, you go to bed at a different time, but you always know you're going to do it before you go to bed.
Yeah, but I don't want to raise I don't know if this is technical, but like, I always think I'm tired. I don't want to raise my heart rate because then I'll struggle to get to sleep. But I don't know if that's probably a technical thing. Like, I'm probably getting that wrong. But I was
the way I say it, you wear yourself out, you're a bit more tired to go to sleep. But the only problem is, all depends how much you sweat. You think, oh shit, I've got to go have another shower.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, the routine I'm doing is called the pedestal, or should be doing. And that's quite a dynamic one. So I probably will get a bit of a sweat on. I've just got to do it, Jimmy. I've got every morning or every up before.
Yeah, the mornings is the other thing, but the mornings is because I used to just bang out in the mornings, but sometimes because your body's not awake, you can actually strain stuff.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you've got to be careful, like, all depends how intense your core is, you know, your set core sessions are when you do it in the mornings.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking I'll just do it in the evenings before you go to bed, and then, yeah.
At least you're supple and loose by that point. Yeah, it's probably right. I need to get on it. It's not good of me. It's been hard, though, running in the these temperatures. Like, it's not been easy work, and some of these sessions, I've been doing a lot of these sessions where you're alternating Ks at around marathon pace or just below marathon pace and then over marathon pace, but you average close to it through the course of maybe 20K. So, for example, I did 20 times a K the other day in aiming for 3:15, and 3:20 is my marathon pace, so just under marathon pace, and then the other K is in 3:35. So it's a recovery, but it's not much of a recovery. And it's hard work. You don't really realise the heat hits you like towards the end. You can go through it and you keep cracking on. And I was running really well. The thing that I found really difficult was the recoveries. Once you get to about like the seventh, eighth round, it's really hard. You can keep running at 3:15 because I find that all right. That's not really difficult pace for me. I can manage that. But it's the difficult bit is to try and maintain that slightly steady, well, the steady effort in those recoveries. It's really difficult. I'm getting used to it. And hopefully
we should be acclimatizing as well because it's been hot for so long.
Yeah, a bit.
You do acclimatize to the heat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I don't know how these guys in Kenya deal with it in the summer, but it's really tough work. Like, and I always used to love running. Oh, one thing I forgot to tell you is I was doing that session, the 1K on, 1K off, and I'd done 8 or 9. I was coming to the end of it, and I was tiring, and it was previously I was doing it on this one road, so it was really easy to know where I was going to turn around, and it was I had no like distractions. It was fine, but I thought I'll just go into this different part of town in Bridport where I'm from. I had to cross loads of roads. It was a bit interrupted, but I was still having to work hard because I had to get back onto pace and stuff. And I was crossing this road, and I saw this bus coming around the corner, right? And I was knackered, and all I did was just misjudge the length of the bus, right? So I thought I'd slowed down sufficiently to let the bus go past, but I basically just ran into the back of the bus. I hit it quite hard. It was one of those old people's buses as well, the ones, you know, like the supported
dial a ride. It's called dial a ride.
Dial a ride, yeah. And I smashed into the back of this bus.
Oh boy.
I was lucky I only had a couple of K to go. I've got back on it though. I finished quite strong, but that was, yeah, it was a certain amount.
Who's this lunatic
yeah,
running around,
running to buses? And then I get home and like I've been, you know, I'm dirty because I've hit the bus, and I'm speaking to my wife washed, and I'm slurring. It's hard. And she said, I've just read something on the internet about this person talking about running in the heat, and they say once you've cooked an egg, it can't be uncooked, and you're cooking your egg.
So you're well hard boiled, seriously, yeah. Hard boiled.
So our advice to everyone is get out early doors, and don't run in the heat of the summer. It's not a good idea. But in general, I think the approach has been interesting. It's been like those sessions have been hard, so I do probably two hard efforts a week, or two moderate to hard efforts. So that's like there's 1K on, 1K off. That's a variation, but that's one. And then I do like a 20 to 30K at a decent lick, so 3:45 to 4 minute Ks. And I'm doing two of those. I do them on Saturday and on the Monday. So you don't get much recovery between them. And then I'll do one session in the week, which is like at the moment, it's not particularly hard. So I did this morning, I did 12 times 400, but I was alternating 200 splits. So I do 35 for one split, then 45, 35, 45, 35, 45. Does that make sense? So it's continuous. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of continuous effort stuff that we're doing. But I guess racing is continuous effort, so it's quite good at that.
Alternating paces, mixing it up.
Yeah.
Like surges,
yeah,
and stuff.
And I'm running the half marathon on Sunday in, like, it's called the Wild Running Event down in Dartmoor. So hopefully someone will hear this and prick their ears up, and they'll also be doing it. But running the half marathon.
You might see the Beast of Dartmoor.
I might see the Dartmoor Beast, yeah, running around. That'd be quite funny. What is the Dartmoor Beast? Is it like a big black Jaguar or something?
They reckon it was someone got an exotic pet.
Oh, right.
And then obviously it escaped. Obviously, it's dead now, but he just reckoned it was like an exotic pet. Obviously, escaped and was eating.
Yeah.
Eating like low.
It makes me think about Father Ted, that episode with the sheep. Do you remember that? With the Beast of the Moors. Anyway, you've got to check that out if you haven't. It's amazing.
Is that one of your recommendations? Yeah?
Definitely. Get on. I love Father. Best TV show of all time, Father Ted, I reckon. Yeah, I love it. But it was interesting because obviously these sessions, I'm struggling a bit with the alternating of paces, particularly when it's like Ks. And Sam, who works with me, Sam, he tagged me in basically on someone else's training and said, this is how you should do this particular type of session. And I thought, all right, I'll have a little look. And he tagged me in with Andy Vernon. So Andy Vernon was doing something similar, but he was doing a bit quicker. So I think he was doing alternating three.
A bit quicker or a lot quicker?
A lot quicker. All right, a lot quicker. 3 minute Ks with about 3 20-minute Ks. And he was, you know, everyone was bang on. It looked great. So obviously Andy's comfortable with that kind of work. I just thought I'd send Andy a quick text on the Strava, and he replied, and we've agreed to do an interview. So we're going to be talking about that in a second, and we'll have a chat about his training and what he's preparing for this year, which is the European Championships. So here's Andy. On this week's show, we're talking to British athletics, I'm going to say legend. Sorry, Andy, it's probably a bit embarrassing, isn't it? British athlete, Andy Vernon. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very, very well. And how's Jermaine? Can you hear us, Jermaine?
Yeah, we're good.
Oh, good, excellent. And we were just chatting a minute ago there, and you're up in St Moritz preparing for the Europeans. How's the training going?
Yeah, it's going good. I've got some, had some good sessions up here, good runs. There's lots of hilly routes, yeah. Getting strong, doing lots of gym work, covering all bases, really.
Excellent.
And just getting strong to withstand those last four laps of the 10K.
He's already strong. If people don't know, Andy, he's the only endurance runner that looks like a boxer. So really big, really muscly. You think, how can he run so fast at long distance? He's got the wrong body type, but he's a really good long distance runner.
Yeah. I'll change again. Aerobically strong.
Yeah. And are you on your own up there?
No, there's a whole group of us. I'm up here with British Athletics, and I won't go through everyone. There's I think that a lot of people arrived yesterday, and so there's probably about 14 or 15 athletes, and then probably about another 6 or 7 support staff.
Oh, nice.
So there's a fairly big group of us up here.
Do you kind of jump in each other's training?
Bits and bobs. I haven't really done an awful lot with anyone else. It's a bit harder. The Chris Thompson's up here as well. So he's training for 10K, but a lot of other people are training for the lower events, like the 800 and 1500. So it is hard to cross over all the time. And even me and Chris have been on different kind of, I don't know, different plans. Like there was one week where I went Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and he went Tuesday, Friday. And then the following week, I went Tuesday, Friday, and he went Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So that didn't really work out very well. Obviously, track workout was the Tuesday, and that was both weeks, and that was actually 1 week I went down to the sea level track and he stayed up here. So it is where you're on, you have a set plan and you don't really want to be moving too much away from your set plan. It's hard to link in all the time, but I mean steady running, we there's generally a group of about 4 or 5 of us for the steady runs.
Yeah.
This trip is organised by UK Athletics prior to Europeans, or is it just like you went there yourself and Thompson decided to go there himself?
It's organised and it was all booked and paid for by British Athletics. So, yeah, it was very good of them to kind of include us into the plan. You know, we're like, especially Chris and I aren't on funding, so it's sometimes, well, the way that it's structured, they have a kind of hierarchical type thing where if you're on funding, you get first pick and as it goes down. But I was actually lucky in that because I was automatically qualified. Yeah. So early on, they just said to me, you know, there's no point in making you wait. We'll just select you for the trip now, for the camp. We'll just say that you're on. Because everyone else had to wait until after the British Championships where I did the 5K trial.
Yeah.
Everyone else pretty much had to wait until they were automatically selected for then. So they were only going to originally bring up people who were automatically qualified. So that was like the Saturday and the Sunday. Hmm. I think it was the 30th and the 1st of June, July. And then we all kind of came up Wednesday, so there was a quick turnaround. And then the rest of the group came up on Tuesday, so it was after selections were made on Monday, yeah. Just gone. It's quick turnarounds for everyone. And I was actually the only one who knew, because I did Highgate in May, I actually knew a few weeks before that I was able to come up here.
Nice. And you said that you're not on funding at the moment. Like, are you working full-time then at the moment?
I'm not working. I mean, I've got an online coaching business that I do, just kind of pays a bit of pocket money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not working as such. I've got sponsors like on running kind of, I've got a contract with them. And so they provide all my footwear, apparel.
Yeah.
And they give me like a bit of cash and I've got bonus structures.
What is your online coaching thing so people listening could maybe contact you if they want to get coached by the great legendary
So it's called Improve Your Running. The website is improveyourrunning.co.uk, and yeah, you can just go on there and inquire if you would like to get in touch.
And you have worked previously. You've previously trained as an athlete and had and jobs and things. Is that, are you in a much easier position now that you obviously that you're
The kind of job that I had before, it was 2013 to 2014, and I did kind of nannying or mannying, as they call it.
Yeah.
So I looked after a few kids after school. I had two families that I looked after. I mean, I had to be very selective with the type of job that I took, because obviously I've got to be able to train in the evenings and I've got to be able to train like fully through the mornings as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to be able to have time off. It had to be flexible for racing. Like, you know, sometimes you race on a Tuesday evening. So, yeah, it had to be very flexible. And that job just works very, very well. My evening run was often done late because I didn't finish until about 7. Yeah. So I'd start my run at, say, 7:15 in the evening, which, yeah, it's later than I'd have liked. But it was best case scenario. As long as I gave families notice that I might be doing a race, you know, I either tried to find cover or they just worked around kind of my schedule as well. If they took an afternoon off or something like that, it did work out very well. And I actually arguably had my best season after that. You know, that was the back end of 2013 going into 2014. And, you know, I ran 13:11 that year. Wow. I got my medals at the European champs that year. I made the final of the world indoors. So it was, I wouldn't say that it hampered me in any way. It's just that the reason why I stopped doing that was because I wanted to be able to commit more to doing training camps and things like that. And it worked out well that I was able to go on a training camp in April, when that's when the training camp that I was going on over in America leading into Stanford, that was on. And it was very good that it was the Easter holidays. Mm. So I was able to get the time off then anyway, because one of the parents were home anyway. So
yeah,
that worked out. That worked out very well, but it wasn't as easy to go. Like, I wanted to go over to Australia with my training group at the time in January for like a couple of months. And yeah, I just couldn't do that with a job. So that's the reason why I gave it up, but it worked very well.
And you've obviously now you've competed in like a number of championships. Do you think, your ambitions have changed, but do you feel your nerves and expectations have been changing the longer you've been doing this?
I'd say that nerves, I've been pretty good with nerves since, well, my debut GB vest was the World Cross championships in Brussels in 2004.
Yeah.
And I've never been so nervous for a race before that one, because I was just looking at I was looking at the kind of past results and looking at who'd won. I think the previous year, Eliud Kipchoge had won the junior race. So in 2003, he'd won the junior world cross country championships. But then that year, won the 5,000 meters world championships in Paris, and he took down, I think he beat Bekele that year.
Wow.
Haile Gebrselassie. Yeah, so I was kind of going in thinking, God, this is the type of people that I'm literally running against the best in the world here.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous that if I had a bad race, I'd finish last, or I'd finish like in the back kind of like five or six. And like, I didn't want that to happen. And yeah, I got very, very nervous. And the race went fine. I was like midway. I was 56th, I think, nice, which was a respectable position. Yeah. For me, and since then I've kind of been fine. It was almost like I was almost to the point where I was sick that day, but then yeah, I've been fine. There's some races that you get more nervous than others.
Yeah. It's just the expectation on yourself that makes you more nervous. Like if you know you're in good shape and you want to run fast, that's when you get more nervous.
So I think it's two things. Some things, like running, is weird, and there's days when you can feel great leading up to a race, and then you get to the race and you're warming up, and then suddenly your legs just don't feel very good. They feel a bit heavy, and it's really weird how you can feel great for so long, and then just as when you need your legs to feel great, they give up on you.
Yeah.
So there's always like, that does happen sometimes. It doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen, and I think it happens to a lot of people as well. And so you're kind of thinking, I don't want that to happen today. You get a bit, I wouldn't say nervous, but like apprehensive, that you just hope that you turn up on the day and your legs are gonna be good.
Yeah.
And but the other thing is like kind of missed opportunities. When you go to championships, you only get one chance to do it. You can't rerun the race. It's not like trying to run a qualifying time where if you miss it, you can go to a race in 2 weeks' time and have another shot.
Yeah.
It's like you have one shot at this, and if you mess it up, then you don't get that opportunity again. Or say, you know, you do, but it's in 4 years' time or something like that. And that's what it's just that you have one shot and you have to nail it.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think the higher up you go, the faster you get, the more these races hinge on like moments. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know at your level. I've never raced kind of quite, you know, an Olympic championship or anything, but it seems like, you know, a race can hinge on whether you go with someone or you just mentally switch off for 5 seconds where there's a break or whatever else. So it's really tough, I guess, mentally to know when to strike and what's the best course of action, I guess.
Yeah, you're constantly having to make decisions, especially in something like the Olympic Games or World Championships, when you are racing people who are, well, not arguably, they're like, particularly with my level, I'm racing people who are a lot better. And you've got to make decisions early on as well. So if there's the Commonwealth Games, for instance, that have just gone, they were operating at faster than my PB pace to start with. And actually the first K was, I think, 27:10 pace.
Wow.
And so really early on, I had to make a decision, like, do I go with a suicidal pace for me in suicidal conditions almost, because it was so humid and hot, and then just fade off? Or do I run my own race and risk just kind of looking stupid, having a gap after one or two laps and just running around on my own?
Yeah.
And then picking up the pieces at the end. And, you know, inevitably you kind of forced to almost just go with it. You just think, just see what happens, just go with it. And so I was operating at kind of 65 to 66 pace for the first 2K. And it was for the fitness level that I was at, I knew it was too much at the time, but you have to make a decision. And at the time, I don't know, I just thought that was probably the better decision. And I suffered in the end. I slowed down a bit, but I finished in a 28:17 in those conditions off, you know, a very, very quick first 2K.
Yeah.
I don't think it was too bad in the end. I think it was quite an underrated performance, actually, I feel.
Yeah. And with this race you've come into, obviously the Europeans, you've got a chance of a medal. How does your like mental preparation differ then? Are you thinking about your competitors and who you're going to have to try and map, or do you just kind of just go through the rounds and see how it goes?
I mean, we're all at a very similar level. I'm one of the not on PBs this year, but on season's best this year. I don't know where I'm actually ranked. I haven't looked, but there's quite a few people that are quicker. But it's all in the same ballpark. And on personal bests, I'm, I don't know, maybe 6 seconds behind the leader at the moment. So it's you've got to bring your A game on the race, and you know that there's about 10 people that can pick, that can come home with a medal, maybe even 12 that can realistically come home with a medal. You know, statistically, 3 or 4 of those are going to have an off day. It's just the way it goes. People overtrain, people get excited, people can't handle the pressure. That happens. And then, yeah, you just got to keep a cool head. Because I know that I can come away with a medal, I go into a race like this a bit more excited and a bit more kind of like, I just want to get on that start line and do it. Because I'm thinking at the end, like, as soon as I finish, there's an end product. There's like something waiting at the end for me. That's how I approach it.
You must be looking forward to the last lap and a half, because you know you've got a good finish.
Yeah, I think it's not quite as good as it used to be. 4 years ago, I had a very good finish on the 10K. Very, very good last lap. I think I'm like maybe 2 or 3 seconds slower than like where I've been in the past, but I think it's still good enough to compete with the guys that are in the race. And I think I'm still one of the faster ones.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that I could definitely win the race in the last lap.
But also that messes up your opponents mentally, because they'll be worried about, oh, he's going to finish strong. So they might, you know, like waste their sprint earlier on just trying to drop you.
Yeah. Well, hopefully people are thinking that and they want to take on the race with kind of 2K to go. They want to start picking up a little bit. Yeah, because then it becomes more, rather than just a pure kickers race, it becomes a bit more, you have to have a bit of strength to, as they say, they take the sting out of your tail. So it's good to take the sting out of everyone's tail, I think, because I can still operate fairly quick off a quick pace as well.
Yeah.
Which it kind of reduces the gamble, if you like.
And thinking back to that, like when you, was it silver you got? It wasn't in the Europeans, the last.
Yeah, the 10,000 meters was the silver, and I got a bronze in the 5,000.
Yeah. Well, thinking back to that race, like it might be difficult to recall what you were thinking about during the run, but when you get to that start line, and you obviously you're a stadium full of people watching you, what is going through your mind, like at the beginning of the race, and perhaps as you work through, can you remember what you were thinking about before the gun went off?
What was I thinking of before? It was one of those races that I do remember looking at the lineup, and like, without trying to sound arrogant at all, I knew that there was only going to be about 4 or 5 guys that were going to feature in this race. It's a lot different this year. There literally is like 10 or 12 people. Half the race could come away with a medal this year. But I remember just thinking, I've just got to stay relaxed, just go with the paces, and like if you're there on the last lap and you've got a sniff, you can come away with something. I think that's pretty much what I was thinking. I mean, it was a bit different last year because I had an injury in June. I had a really good build up, and then I got injured in June, and I had 6 weeks off of like cross training, and I could only do bits and bobs of actual running training.
So
that kind of blinded me a little bit, and I was going into the race not truly knowing what 10K shape I was in, because I hadn't really done the sessions to kind of find my form. So I do believe that in the end that actually helped me, because that 6 weeks off actually probably just recouped my body a little bit, and I think I went into it a lot fresher than everyone else.
Yeah.
So in a roundabout way, I think it did help me. And I did run well in the Commonwealth Games a couple of weeks before. So that I had an indication. I ran 13:22.
Yeah.
And so I had an indication that I was in good shape, but sometimes 5K shape and 10K shape doesn't always go over, especially 10K just being a longer distance. You just have to have a bit more running in your legs, and that's what I didn't have.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was just going in a bit blind, not knowing exactly what shape I was in. But I just kind of thought, you know, go with it, see what happens. And if you're there at the end, I can probably come away with something.
Yeah.
And I was right. It came down to, I think there was myself and Mo. Yeah, there was 5 at the end. Yeah, it was myself and Mo. There was the two Turkish Kenyan guys, and then there was
the imposters.
Are you good at sort of being able to focus on the race and to ignore distractions and to get your mind just focusing on what you're doing? Like you said today in the race, you were just thinking about having to try and relax. Is that a difficult process, or do you find you can switch into kind of competition quite easily?
Yeah, no, it's actually, I find it better to relax, because if you're constantly trying to think about things, it just kind of uses up energy. I think you've just got to try and roll. You just got to get into a, like, try and get on the curb, try and like get behind someone who hasn't got an erratic running style or someone that's not chopping and changing all the time,
yeah,
and just tick off the laps. I mean, the thing with the 10K is that you are literally, for the main thing you've got to do to start with is just tick off about 17 or 18 of the laps.
Mm.
And you've just got to get round and get round using as least energy as possible. And because, yeah, the race doesn't really start until you've got at the most 3K to go. And normally 2K to go or even a mile to go. That's when the race starts. So you just got to kind of get to there in as best shape as possible.
Yeah. And then we'll start thinking about it then. Well, let's take it back to the beginning of your running career. Like, when did you decide to get serious about running? Because you always were a talented junior. When did you think, I'm going to take this more seriously and start sort of focusing on athletics as a career?
There wasn't, I don't think there was a time that it happened where I just kind of like had this magical thought. I think it just happened as I was going through university.
Yeah.
So I went to St. Mary's University in 2005 when I was 19. And I was still a bit of a great lad then, you know, wanting to show off. And, you know, we'd go out partying and, you know, for the first year, we lived a typical uni lifestyle. We trained hard, but we partied hard as well and we had fun. And then as we got older, we obviously just matured a little bit and we moved out of student halls and things like that. And it just kind of gradually just got a bit more professional.
Yeah.
And I was starting to get contracts by that point with kit sponsors. So I had the opportunity to start earning money as well through running, like through bonuses. And I didn't have a retainer or anything like that back then. So if I wanted to earn money through the sport, it had to be through prize money. And you know, I got very small appearance fees here and there, maybe 400 quid for races here and there. It was nothing to shout about. But then, yeah, I had bonuses on my kit contracts. And that was the way. So it became like, if I want to earn money out of the sport, I have to start knuckling down and I have to start doing the right things, going to bed early, you know, eating correctly and things like that. And it just kind of happened. It was just a process over maybe half a year where I just started to get more serious. I started to surround myself with people that were like-minded and wanted something out of the sport as well.
Yeah. I was going to ask that. Do you struggle with any particular area of your training? So do you struggle with your diet, sleep, or your fitting in, you know, gym work and strength and conditioning, or are you quite good at focusing on that?
The hardest thing, especially now, I've moved away from Teddington. So I used to use the gym. I used to just be able to walk to the gym and like at St. Mary's and just use it. And it was a very easy setup when I lived in Teddington, and I live away from Teddington now. So I live in Camberley, and so I have to kind of drive to places and things become more of a, like, all right, I've got to go to the gym now. And it becomes, rather than just like walking a couple of minutes, it's like a 15-minute drive or a 10-minute drive. And it's not something that I don't do, but it becomes an event now to go to the gym. Yeah. And it's always the part that I've enjoyed the least as well, is the gym work. I love going out for a run. I like doing the sessions. But, yeah, it's all the other bits. Especially, I don't mind lifting, but it's the core. There's something about core stability now. I just don't like doing it anymore.
It gets boring after a while, doesn't it? It's the same amount of setups,
Yeah, when you've been doing it for 17 years, it's tedious, yeah.
How much do you do? How many days a week do you go to the gym now these days?
So I go to the gym twice a week and definitely lift once a week. Sometimes I just do bits and bobs, like kind of general conditioning stuff. So, you know, activation with the glutes and kind of lower level stuff, but just general stability, and you know, I would do core, and then sometimes I do bits at my house. My wife's a personal trainer, so she's got quite a lot of bits. She's got like a Bosu, so I can do some balancing stuff. Got kettlebells and dumbbells and things like that she uses with her clients. And yeah, I can do bits of core at home as well. So
you could spice it up, so you can say, look, okay, I'm going to upgrade my 6-pack to an 8-pack.
But you've got to push me, yeah. And what do you think, like, is your strength as an athlete? Obviously, Jermaine said you're very strong and you're like robust. Doesn't sound like a nice word, but what do you think personally is the reason why you've been such a success as a runner?
I think it has been just covering all bases. So doing bits of everything, doing the sessions. I mean, like through the winter, I just do a lot of strength stuff. I do like hill running. I do long reps. You know, I do long runs. I do tempo running. So that builds up like your kind of strength. But then that coupled with doing things like plyometric stuff and hurdle walkovers for hip mobility, doing the gym stuff. I think it's just the fact that I do try to cover everything. Yeah. And it, you know, I think you do need to cover a bit of everything to really succeed.
Yeah.
You can't just be a, like, oh, I'm going to run. There's also things like the foam rolling, the stretching. It's just getting everything done. You've just got to, you've got to do bits of everything, get the massage in, you know, see the physio when you need to see them, and yeah, try and see them before you actually, or like, you know, get the massage done so you don't actually need to go and see a physio and fix something. It's, you can't prevent things from happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I try to, I mean, when it comes to actually running, like the running ability, I'd say that my strength is just my strength. I'm a strong runner.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've always been able to finish fairly well.
Yeah.
Pace, like I'm good at pace judgment. I'd say that I'm very good at judging my own pace. There are days when I have to sit off and I know that I'm having a bit of an off day. But still, that's part of it, rather than going out and absolutely blowing up. I feel like I always get like within about 2%, the best I could probably get out of myself that day.
It is
where I, yeah.
Yeah. Consistency. And if for the 10K, is there like a particular type of session you see in your plan, you think, I love that session? It might be a really tough, impossible one, but one you really look forward to doing. Is there one you've got like that?
There's no session that I really look forward to doing, because if, like I say, if they're the ones that you know you're going to get a good stimulus out of, they're probably a tough session.
Yeah.
I mean, the one I did yesterday was, it was a hard one, especially with the heat. I didn't quite hit the times that I would have liked, but when I used to do it in the past.
What was the session?
So the session, it's one that I've stolen off my previous coach, Nick Bordeaux. Don't think you'll mind too much, but it's six times 1 mile with 30 seconds recovery. The first 2 miles are in 4:48, so 72 pace.
Yeah.
And then the next 2 miles are in 4:40, so 70 second pace. And the final 2 miles are in their 4:32, so their 68 pace. And then you take 1 minute recovery, and then you just do an 800 meters as hard as you can.
Like an 800 meter time trial almost.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yesterday, I didn't do it as well as I have done in the past, but previously I've had the group around me and I've only needed to take maybe 4 or 5 laps of the whole session. Whereas this time, yeah, you're taking every single lap, and it just kind of builds up as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wasn't quite as fast, but I think the session was still just as good.
Yeah, fantastic. Nice. And now at the moment, I guess what's your focus now with the Europeans, but how is your training looking now? Are you focusing on anything particularly at this stage in your training?
Nothing in particular. I'm trying to do a bit more speed work, but like just some strides just to try and get my body running faster again, like preparing for that last lap.
Yeah.
That's probably the only thing. Yeah. So I'm doing a bit of strides after sessions and after runs and things like that.
Yeah.
That's the main thing. Yeah. Cause I think I've got the fitness and I've got the strength to get to the last lap. And it's now just about, once you're at the last lap, I need to be ready for it. I need to be able to get everything out and, you know, try and run probably at least a 55 second lap.
Christ.
So it's just trying to open up those hips and get used to running, like operating at that pace again.
Yeah.
So I don't do an awful lot of training through the year at that kind of pace. I do more of the stronger, the longer reps.
Yeah. Okay. And obviously this is the championships in a couple of weeks time. And then what's next in your career? Have you ever thought about the marathon or anything like that? Or are you quite happy just continue as a track athlete and see where it takes you?
I probably will be going to the roads, and I'll do a marathon next year.
Yeah.
At some point. I haven't decided like definitely on one yet, but I need to get this. I need to focus on the Europeans coming up before I start focusing on what races I'm going to do in 2019. But I will have a go. I'll have a crack at a marathon and see where that takes me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that I'll never come back to the track, but yeah, I would like to have a crack at the marathon and see how good I am at that, and see where.
Oh, next year that'll be a lovely marathon. Yeah. That will.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Yeah, that might be a bit too hot.
Yeah, forget that.
I've heard that the track is going to be air conditioned. So maybe I'll go back onto.
I don't think so. I don't think I've been there. I went there and they were building a stadium. There's no roof, so there's not going to be an AC.
Oh, really?
And it, actually, one thing, like with kind of with British athletics at the moment, we are going for a bit of a resurgence in terms of the standard of athletes and competing on international stage, which kind of like coincided with you and obviously Tomo and stuff going and competing internationally and winning medals. Do you think there was a step when you went from thinking domestically to then thinking, right, I've got to do this to become an international athlete, I've got to start doing this that will get me to that next level? Or do you think it was just a natural progression?
Well, yeah, I did kind of make a bit of a decision in 2011 in that sense. I was with a coach called Nick Anderson, and for me, it, like, there was just something wasn't clicking, and I think I just needed something else, another stimulus or a change or something. So that's when I made the decision to, like, I switched coaches to Nick Badeau after that, and he had a very good group, and everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of the guys in the group at 5K were running kind of in the 13:10 range, and he already obviously had Craig Mottram that run 12:55 a couple of times. And the other thing as well is I was starting to do a lot of, with Nick Anderson, I was starting to have to do a lot of the training on my own in the summer, because my training group had like John Beattie, who had gone to Tulsa University, Keith Jarrett had gone to New Mexico University. So it started to become a lot harder to train for the track on my own and to train at that level. And so joining a group was probably a better move for me. So yeah, I spoke to Nick Badeau and I switched over, and that was probably the time when, yeah, like just being around people who had been there and done it was good as well. And I ended up running 13:11 under him, so I was in that kind of ballpark of 13:10 as well.
Yeah,
so it wasn't, it paid off.
Yeah, it wasn't like specifically you changed your training. It was more like you were inspired by being part of this new group.
Kind of, yeah. It was just a good change, and it came at a good time in my career, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it gave me confidence training with people that had already run these times and were running these times still.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. Fantastic. We shouldn't keep you too much longer, Andy. You're probably got recovery and stuff to be getting on with. We've got three final questions to ask you, and they're questions. Four. Jermaine always sneaks one in extra. I can't promise Jermaine's is not going to be left of centre. But the three I've got are: if you could be anywhere running right now, where would it be? So it could even be like a championship race that you look back on with fondly, or it could be just a place you love to run. Any of those things.
Yeah, so the place that I used to go with Melbourne Track Club is Mount Laguna. It's about an hour east of San Diego, and it's just there's not much there. It's just we stay in log cabins. It's very, very basic, but it is just a great, I just love training there. It's where I've got ready for both my 5K and my 10K PB. It's just tough running. It's all hills every day. Nice. And it's just a good setup, and we always have fun. Yeah. Up there as well.
Excellent. Nice one. The second question is recommend us anything. It could be a book, film, TV show, anything you've been doing lately that you would say is interesting for our listeners to check out.
I really like the TV series Suits. And the next series is, they've just brought out a new series. Or what is it called? Not episode, new... Yeah, series, yeah.
Season, yeah.
Yeah, a new set, yeah. So I'd say, if you haven't watched Suits, get on it. And you can binge now. You can binge through the whole lot. And I think we're on season 7 now. Oh, that's what season. That's what I'm looking for.
Is that because you wanted to look at Merkel?
I thought you meant the German Prime Minister then, Jermaine.
I actually really liked Donna in it. I liked her character better. Oh, okay. She was just, I like her character.
And our third question is, what's the greatest endurance performance of all time in your opinion?
I think Craig Mottram's, I was going to say when he ran 12:55, but like when he front run the Commonwealth Games in 2006 in front of his own home crowd, and unfortunately he just got pipped on the line by Augustin Chogi, I believe it was.
Yeah.
If he had won that race, it would have definitely been hands down. I think just because it was such a brave way of running, and he just went out there and he just started reeling off 62, 63 second laps. But I think, that was a very impressive run.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed watching the race.
What do they call him again? The White Mazungu or something? Yeah.
Yeah, the White Mazungu, yeah.
Yeah, the Great White Hope.
Yeah. They say he's got the heart of a lion, yeah. Whereas everyone else has got a chicken heart. he's got a lion heart.
I remember I actually died and then a marathon a few years back, and I was really treading water, and then I noticed a big guy in front of me who was also treading water, and it was Craig Mottram, and it's something like, what? Craig Mottram's like is absolutely destroyed. He's even worse than I was, which is quite funny moment in my career. Jermaine, you've got a question.
Yeah, my question is, tell me a time that you've proved UK Athletics wrong, you know, like in a race.
Name a time, did you say?
Yeah, you know, like one of your best times.
I'd say
wrong.
There was a time when I was very unlucky with selection. So the 2015 World Champs, I'd run 27:42 that year for 10K, and the qualifying time was 27:45, and I won Stanford to run that time as well. So it was I put in a good performance. But then I had to do a few more races. I had to do Highgate, and I did the London 10K as well because I needed some cash. Yeah. And I ended up doing three 10Ks within the space of about 3 weeks off of, like, with a hard training camp for the 5 weeks leading into Stanford as well. And I went through a bit of a lull in June. And I believe I still 2015. I can't remember where I finished in. I think I may have finished second in the 5K trial that year, but anyway, they didn't select me for the 10K, and they said I hadn't shown current form. There were a few other reasons they put down. I won't go into it, but there was three. But the way I proved them wrong was because 3 days after selection, I won a race in Ninove in Belgium, and I ran 13. I think around 13:20 or 13:21. Anyway, I ran a 5K. Qualifying time anyway, so I was back in good shape, but selection was already made, and they wouldn't extend me like the extra 2 or 3 days or whatever it was, so I was a little bit disappointed with that, but
no regrets. Yeah. We're here now.
You proved that he was in good shape.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
excellent.
We moved on.
Well, good luck for the Europeans. We're rooting for you to bring back a medal.
Andy, I'm going to be there. So you need to hook me out of a little GB t-shirt, you know.
Okay, I will do.
So I'll be there all week, so I'll be cheering you on.
I'll see you there.
I feel left out. Right, cool. Anyway, great stuff. Nice one, Andy. Thanks very much.
All right, cheers, guys.
So a great interview there with Andy. We wish him success for the European Championships coming up. Nice to
hear. Look out for me on TV. I'll be on the side with my new GB shirt. cheering him on.
In Berlin, right?
In Berlin, yeah.
I've never been to Berlin. I really want to go. So perhaps I should get myself over there too.
I'll bring you back some chocolate because I know there's this posh chocolate shop there.
Oh, is there?
I'll hook you up. Yeah.
Posh chocolate and some...
That might have been no good for your training regime, no.
No, that's true. Yeah.
It's me trying to fatten you up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, we're going to have a really good one for the next one. I forgot to mention this earlier to you, but the next interview about Project 220 or Bust is going to be with dietitian Renee McGregor. And what she's going to do is she's going to do a live cook-off showing me some recovery, how to make various recovery options for after your run. So we're going to try and either put that on Facebook Live or we're going to do it on YouTube. Is there a YouTube Live? I've got to learn that.
You can do, there's Instagram Live and people can watch it live on Instagram because obviously you've got an Instagram account, and then they can post up comments and put love hearts and stuff like that.
Lovely. Well, we will announce. There is, you can enter your email on the show notes and we can give you, when we know information about that, we will let you know. So you can tune in live to watch Renee doing her thing. That's really good.
But what apron are you going to wear? I'm
going to wear one of them ones that like the Italian ones, like, you know, like David, that the that big, you know, Michelangelo's David. So with a tiny little like stone Willy, William Balls. I didn't explain that very well, but that's what's going to be on my apron. Yeah. So look forward to that one, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
So it's definitely not a PG cooking show then.
It's definitely not a PG. I'm going to be covered up, but with a stone penis and balls. Anyway, it's been really great. We've had lots of people tagging us in. Well, certainly one person, Ollie Saville, he tagged us in on his hill session he was doing, his Kenyan hills, the other day on Instagram. That's really great if you tag us in at Let's Get Running. Anything you're doing, anywhere you are. Perhaps if you've done similar routes to me, Jermaine said I've been obviously running around the world in Ireland and that sort of thing. If you've been in similar places, let us know some good places to train. We always want to hear from people, so get in touch. Tag us into your Instagram or Twitter posts, and we love to respond to those.
Yeah, because if you know where Sean's going, you should message him and say, try and do your run.
Yeah, I'd love to hang out with people and do some runs together. I should let people know. Maybe I'll post on Instagram where I'm going to be running and stuff, or a session that I'm going to be doing if anyone wants to jump in. Yeah, should be nice. And we're always looking for people to subscribe to us on any place you listen. So don't just download us. If you subscribe to us, that means we obviously can, it builds the reputation of the show, so we can get, you know, more people listening and we get more interesting guests, etc. So please help us by doing that.
Right. Also,
if
people want to join Project Dixon,
So
they can also do similar training to you, and maybe not do the same marathon, but a marathon at a similar time.
Yeah, well, I've been offering to send my plan out. I know at the moment I'm on holiday right now because I know people have signed up for me to send it to them. It is sorted, but by the time this show's out, it will have gone out. But I'll send you the plan and you can jump in and see what I've been doing and try and adapt it to your own circumstance, or let us know and we could try and adapt it to your particular skill or lifestyle, and we can do that certainly.
All the followers that are doing that, obviously need to let us know so we can big you up as well.
Big up. Yeah, certainly. Nice one. Well, it's time we got off and I'm on my holiday, so I'm going to go and enjoy myself in the sun in Bridport. I've done my session, so I'm not going to get baked. I'm not going to have a fried egg in my head, like my wife said. And what are you up to, Jermaine, rest of the day?
I'm relaxing today. I've got a day off, so yeah. I'm chilling.
Nice one. Wicked. Right, see you next week.
Cool. All right, see ya. Bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.